I'd like for you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah, into the 7th chapter of Micah. Micah is a contemporary of Isaiah, and there was a prosperous time that was going on, and Micah had to be the bearer of bad news. Things were going to happen, they weren't going to be good. But the thing that I was drawn to in my studies is at verse 18. We started verse 18. We see that the writer knew that bad things were going to happen, but he still showed his love to God. Starting in verse 18 of the book of Micah, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." Micah knew that times of tribulation were coming, but he knew that he had a God that keeps his promises. We're going to have times of tribulation come to us, whether they're because of the country we live in or the bad decisions that others make around us, or even our own bad decisions. What we're going to have to do is get through those trials. And when we do that with patience, that's when we can have peace. We learn to have patience. That's when peace can sweep over us. Our first point, if you have your bulletin, the first blank is me. What patience does for me. Now, it applies to me, but it also applies to you. That's meant to be a first-person reader there. What patience does for me. You know, patience does quite a bit for us. It can not only make our lives a little bit more peaceful, but as James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 state, we find what patience does for us. I won't have the scriptures up this evening. I'd like for you to thumb in your Bible through there, underline key words. If you're a Bible marker, which I'd encourage you to be, we look over to James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." When bad times happen, be patient. Continue to fight through those, and you'll be more complete than you were before. We flip over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We see a difference in what the wages of sin is for, and then we find what the gift of God is. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What does patience do for me? Helps me realize what lies ahead. Oftentimes, if we get bogged down in the world today, we're going to have trouble. How many actors could we name that focused on the here and now and ended up getting messed up into drugs, ended up taking their own lives? Yet we have people that say, "Oh, I wish I was a Hollywood star." Like, no. We were talking about this earlier. I can't name any sound brother or sister in Christ who's famous in Hollywood. Can't name anybody. There's a certain show on television, and people like to look to them because the show is clean, from what I've heard. Never seen an episode of it. And they say, "Well, they're members of the Lord's church." Ratings came in. Prestige came in. Money came in. That family now produces a line of wines, alcoholic wines. How do you justify that? They have a kid on Dancing with the Stars. There are quite a few other things, and people look to this family. And don't you dare mention it on Facebook. Whew. People think you're bad-mouthing an apostle. prestige came with problems. You start getting that glory and you want more of it. You start getting that money, you want more of it. And you take your focus off of what is ultimately important. That free gift of eternal life is that important. And we can look to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What zoned me in on this scripture was set aside every weight and run with endurance. Let's work together as a family. We're all enduring something different. Some things are hard to get through. Work with others. Don't fight a battle by yourself. Work with those who are around you. We all want to get to the same place. We all want to get to heaven. When we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we have to run with endurance. When I have patience, I can understand things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. But we continue to press forward. We continue to fight on. We look to the words of Jesus in Luke. Or not the words of Jesus. We look in that parable of the soil. Those words of Jesus. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. I'm going to go ahead and get to the nitty gritty of the dirt. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with patience. Now, what type of soil were you? You received the word. If you're obedient to the gospel, you responded, but what type of soil are you? We should all strive to be that good soil, understanding that difficulties will come, but I'm going to hold on to my Jesus more than I'm going to hold on to anything else. We want to be in that good soil so that we can bear fruit and bear fruit with patience. Our Bible bowlers are getting very in touch with Galatians, and we'll be starting that here next week. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul writing the church of Galatia, said in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And you know, oftentimes people will misuse the scripture that says God won't give us more than we can bear. Have we heard people say that before? God won't give us more than we can bear. Well, we're going to be given more than we can bear, because unless Jesus returns, we're all going to die. And last time I checked, death is more than we can bear. The scripture says that God won't allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. We can get out of temptation. We can flee. When we look in Galatians 6, 9, I want to reap that heavenly reward. We can't give up. What patience does is makes me understand that whatever comes my way, whatever comes our way, can do nothing to us in the realm of our eternal salvation. In the 37th Psalm in verse 7, we read, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. I'm sure we've all been taken advantage of. When it comes to business deals, when it comes to family members, when it comes to friends, we've all been taken advantage of. Let's strive to not take advantage of others. But those that do so maliciously are going to stand before God. And they're going to answer for it. We may not see it now, but we don't need to see it now. I've got my hands more than full worrying about me. What we need to do is wait patiently for the Lord, staying strong in the Word. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Last week, Brother Laws was here doing our gospel meeting, and he made quite a few references to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. If we stay faithful, God is faithful to keep His promises. What does patience do for me? Keeps me focused. Keeps my focus where it needs to be, understanding that whatever comes, I can fight through. In Romans chapter 8, verse 25, Romans chapter 8, verse 25, really ties this point together in my opinion. If you're a Bible underliner, I would encourage you to underline this verse. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I've never seen heaven, but I know heaven's real. You know, I've never met Jesus, but I know Jesus is real. I look forward to the day I get to meet Jesus. I get to see heaven, and I get to be there with so many of you as long as we continue to be obedient. What does patience do for me? Patience helps us to have an eternal home with God. Oftentimes we sit and look around at others. Don't compare your chapter 1 to someone else's chapter 20. Everybody has different battles. Everybody is at different stages of their life. So we see some people that have a lot of something we want. We don't know how they got there. We don't know how they got there. You know, I'm sure we could ask our teenagers about things that they would like to have that they see others have and say, well, hey, bud, the people that had this didn't have it at chapter 1. You're in chapter 1. Focus on where you are and focus to where you can grow. When it comes to patience, don't compare yourself to others. That's just going to lead to a lot of problems. What patience does for me, it helps me to get through those chapters. Our second point, the benefits of patience. The benefits of patience. So we see what patience does for me. We see what the benefits of patience are. So we look in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 to the Pauline epistles, the prison epistles. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a book about joy, a chapter about being right with God. In the beginning of the chapter of Philippians, he's talking about getting along. In verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, and I'll sum up this sub-point. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness of God. With which no one, I put that wrong. For the holiness without, okay, I read it wrong. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We have holiness. We're different. We're set apart. Strive for peace so we can continue on with God. We see the issues that come with patience. When we're patient, we get peace. We tie these together. What's the benefit of patience? Benefit of patience is being right with God. We strive to be patient, continue to do as we should. The benefit is outstanding. Second sub-point, let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Love the prison epistles, so when a good opportunity comes for that, I like to utilize those. In Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another, Render in your gates judgment that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. We look in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And what we find is you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And when we flip forward a little bit to Isaiah 57, 21. Oop. I got that. There it is, Isaiah 57, 21. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. They're always going to be hungering for something else. The second subpoint, the Zechariah 8, 16, 17, Isaiah 26, 3, Isaiah 57, 21. The benefits of patience, or I'm easier to be around. I'm easier to be around and I'm more equipped to help those who are around me. Have we been around people with a very short fuse? Who enjoys being around someone with a very short fuse? We don't enjoy being around people like that. We deal with it. If they're not going to help themselves, it's something we've got to deal with. But it should be an example to us to not be that way. Find whatever it takes so that you can be someone that people want to be around. Find a way to be someone that people want to be around. When we work on patience, that can help with your peace. Because what happens when that fuse blows on someone with the short fuse? It's usually not very fun. Not very fun at all. There's no peace with that. We learn to be patient with one another, and simple mistakes can be overlooked. Let's be patient with each other. Let's love each other. Let's be a people that seeks peace, and not the peace that the world talks about. But we'll get to that in a minute. We understand that tough times are going to come, but the benefits of patience are worth the effort to find that. This picture doesn't look real good up here, but I'll go ahead and read it. A smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. You know, so often people say, I just wish I had a life that was easy. Why? You'd be useless. I'm sure we've all been around people that things just kind of always went their way. When times were hard, did you go to them for help and guidance? No. No, that's the last person I would go to. They had no experience when it came to facing difficulties. Because what could their response be? Some cliche. We've all been through stuff. We've all endured trials. Those trials can make us into these skilled sailors. You don't have to want trials to come. They'll come. Don't have to worry about that. But we also shouldn't have a smooth sea. If everything is going so smooth for you, you need to look in the mirror and find if you're doing what God would have you to do. If you are evangelizing as you should. Our third point. The byproduct of patience is peace. You learn patience, you learn peace. You learn to be patient, you're going to find your life is a lot happier. You're going to find things are a little bit easier to deal with. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we'll go ahead and reference that again if you want to turn back over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We have Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 again. I felt that these fit well in both of the points. You keep in him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We stay focused on God. We stay focused on His Word. Our thoughts are going to continue to be on things that are above. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. When I was in the campus ministry, when I was in college, we had a song for this. And I'm not going to sing it right now. But cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Jesus, or God, cares for us. God cares for us. We look a chapter back in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You may be going through a difficult trial right now, one that no one else knows about. Seek patience and seek peace. The world likes to say that peace is not telling someone they're wrong. That ain't peace. That type of peace is going to lead to an eternity of terribleness. The peace we find is being right with God, and sometimes we have to tell someone they're not right with God. We need to turn from evil and do good. Let's turn to John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, that being Christ. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That is our sermon in a nutshell. Peace, the byproduct of patience. John 16, 33. I said these things to you, but in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The byproduct of peace, or the byproduct of patience, is peace. Direction is so much more important than speed. Because many are going nowhere fast. If you're here this evening, you've come to the right place. This is a New Testament church. The things that we have patterned in our worship are after what was patterned in the first century. But if you're doing nothing in your Christianity, you're not going anywhere fast. You've proven you can punch a number into a GPS, and you got here. What are you going to do with your Christianity? I think it was said another quote, even if you're on the right track, if you're not going anywhere, you're going to get run over. So the challenge, Chris and I are offering challenges. So in the notes section of the sermon outline, if you're using that, I'd like for you to write this challenge down. Remember, we're all enduring things. Some things we know, some things that we don't. Some people need someone to just listen. Some people need to talk to people. Here's my challenge. This week, be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. We don't need to look down our noses at anyone. If someone wants to talk to us, make time for them. Listen to them. Not just hear them, listen. And help guide people to the Lord. That's your challenge this week. When people talk to you, give them the attention they deserve and aim them to God. The lesson is yours. If you're not a Christian, I'd encourage you to become one. If you've heard of Jesus, you believe in Him, you're ready to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord and be immersed into the water of your grave of baptism, we're ready tonight. And if you are, we would love to baptize you into Christ. But if you are a Christian and you've fallen short, you've missed the mark, or you've sinned in a public way, make that right. Do whatever it takes to be right with God. Because let's be real. We're not getting any younger. We're not getting any younger. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.